Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Steven Rue.
Hey, Guardians. And chomp.
We're going to have a more serious episode today, is what I was going to say. We're going to be talking about the Activision's earnings call for the most part. And I'm posing the question, is the Destiny brand too damaged to be successful? And by successful, I'm using Activision's definition, which seems outlandish to me, and let's talk about why. By the way, you can watch us first on IGN.com, and then one day later, Saturday at 5 p.m. on YouTube. So that's Friday at 5, IGN.com, Saturday at 5, YouTube.com/FireteamChat. So Activision is saying that Destiny 2 is not what they were hoping for. They're saying it did not achieve our commercial expectations. There's still a lot of work to do to engage the core Destiny fan base. What did they expect? Because digging into the statistics, it was the number six best-selling game of the year from August 2017 to August 2018. Mm-hmm. And in September, it was the number eight best-selling game of September. Do they need it to be Fortnite? And what scares me about is does that mean they're going to shovel more microtransactions in our face?
Yeah, I mean, what's weird is that we've talked about this often. Fortnite was that disruptive thing that came into the industry, and I'm sure that they're looking at Fortnite right now going, wow, how do we get us some of that? And that's always the issue, right? You didn't have that to compare to before in, what, September 2017, right? Mm-hmm. Well, not December, but like with the launch of Destiny 2. We were talking about, Destiny 2 launched when there was no Fortnite. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Like, when you think about that, you're going pre-Fortnite. So, yeah, I think it's really difficult, and we do this often. We compare it to that. I'm sure Activision's doing the same. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty lofty, I think, to call it, oh, the brand is too damaged. I don't think so. But definitely, when you look at comparative specs, they probably wished it would be a lot further than it is.
So they even said that they had really high expectations for the game, and that it wasn't met. I was going somewhere. I kind of lost my train of thought there for a second. Okay. Sorry. They said something specifically about the Destiny brand that a lot of players are taking the wait and see approach to the game. Well, Forsaken's good, and they're still not in. And I think that's because a lot of people have been burned by Destiny. A DLC will come out, like Osiris was really damaging to the brand. A lot of people were like, what? And since that point, they have had an uphill battle to re-engage, as they say, the core Destiny fan base, and they're going to have an uphill battle. So let's take a look really quick at some of the mistakes that they made at launch. What's the most obvious thing that they did at launch? Everybody knows this answer.
Yeah, I mean, just end game, and there was a combination.
Too casual.
Too casual, yeah. Like, it was seen as, I mean, even from a PvP standpoint, they did a lot of meta changes that were not well received. And yeah, the casual side of thing, we've analyzed this to death. We understand why that they did that to bring in a new player base. But yeah, it did not work, I would say, that as they were hoping.
What about you, Steven? What do you think their missteps were at launch? I mean,
well, they took
a lot
of risks.
Everybody's talked about
it. They took a pretty good formula with Destiny 1 and they changed it up a bit in hopes to make it better. Mm-hmm. Obviously it didn't pay out. And that left a sour taste in a lot of people. I think what you see now is, even though Forsaken is really, really good, people are kind of be like, I don't know yet. I still don't know if I want to jump in. I think Black Armory, the next DLC, if that's also good, I'm not expecting it to be as good as Forsaken, but if it's still a really, really good DLC, I think you'll start to see people trickle in.
Interesting.
I don't think so.
You don't think
so? I think people don't trust the brand name anymore, the brand name of Destiny. And if they want to hit the Activision goals, which are insane, being number six for the year and then number eight for September isn't enough. I don't know how you make somebody like that happen.
Well, and last year it's number two, I think, mm-hmm. overall, only right behind Call of Duty. And what's weird is that, yeah, I jokingly said, it's like, oh yeah, you know, the Destiny community and Activision have a similar theme. They both are expecting a little bit more than I think what Bungie is capable of producing. It's interesting when you think about all those things in collection with, yeah, Fortnite, PUBG, or any other game. What other game besides Fortnite would you go, oh, that's the model? Like,
yeah.
Call of Duty? No, because Call of Duty's in a similar situation, like brand fatigue in a way. So what other game right now is out where you go, oh, do that?
Yeah, in the shooter space,
there
is not really anything. You got Anthem on the way. A lot of people are looking to maybe change up the formula a little bit and add to it.
But even Anthem.
But it's EA's answer to Destiny, basically, right?
Well, and think about, like, I think we've said this before. Anthem has that potential Monster Hunter potentiality effect where it might be good right off the bat, but there's not enough content and there's no PvP to sustain it long term. I think it might be just, yeah, one of these other EA products that comes out and you have high expectations, but also fizzles.
Yeah, and I want to hear from the chat also, so leave a comment on the video. Let us know what you think, and we'll be in there discussing with you the issues that Bungie faces. To me, they have a huge uphill battle when your parent company is basically saying, hey, you made a ton of money. Yeah. It's not enough. How do we change it? Going back to the mistakes that they made at launch, we expected Destiny 2, and we got a Destiny 1 Lite. That's what we ended up getting. All the cool stuff was forgotten and sort of left on the wayside. And finally, with Forsaken, we got a lot of that mystery back.
Yep.
We got those interesting moments. We have the meatball. We have the bow and arrow. But even now, personally, I was playing Destiny 2 with Teddy. We were chasing for the meatball. Didn't get it. Played for 2 hours. I'm out. I have nothing left to do in that game.
Well,
I no-lifed it for like a week or two. But, like, that is your hardcore community. That's what they're going to do. They're going to devour your game. And how do they maintain this cadence of content? It's really tricky.
It's super tricky. And you said that last week, and some people in the comment section took issue with that. So I wanted to, like, make a, you know, state.
What did the comment section say?
Exactly. When we say there's nothing left to do, do you have all the triumphs and everything completed in the actual triumph book?
Yeah, there are things to do in the game. So you are correct. And chat, you are commenters, you are correct in that regard. However, I don't feel incentivized to do any of it.
So you feel like you've actually explored all you can with the space.
I've completed the campaign. I've completed the raids several times.
Yeah.
I've gotten the Wish Ender, which was a lot of fun to do.
Yep.
I'll still keep chasing that meatball every once in a while. I have full Iron Banner sets on all my characters, except my Hunter. I still need like two pieces.
Yeah.
So there's little things that I can do within the game.
So
it's really hard to be incentivized. Like, hey, here's, if the quest ends up being Thunderlord, the quest we discussed last week.
Yeah.
It's like, I had that in D1. Like, who cares? Like,
yeah,
it's not going to be top meta. I have all the meta weapons.
Yeah, I mean, well, for me, when I made that comment,
Well, and talk about real quick what you've actually completed, because you have no life dip, but you've also completed a crap ton that the game has.
Yeah, wait. When I say there's nothing left for me to do, I'm talking about content wise. I have.
But say what you've actually done. Yeah,
I have Luna's Howl. I have Not Forgotten. I have Wish Ender. I've done the raid 20 times.
You're insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I have all the armor for every class. Like, there is nothing for me to do except the triumphs, which isn't content in my eyes. They're achievements.
They're achievements, but I will say at least, and some of them are carrying over seasons. So you can't complete everything from the book by just playing Forsaken. You have to play over the next couple months in order to get something.
Yeah, correct.
Though.
Like there's a triumph you can do for the Dreaming City where you learn from Shirochi 20 times, which is basically her patrol mission 20 times.
Right.
To me, that's not content. It's just an achievement. Mm-hmm. When I say there's nothing left for me to do in Destiny 2, I'm talking about like actual content. There literally is nothing left for me to do.
Yeah.
But I still love Destiny 2. And what I'd say to Bungie devs is hopefully they don't get discouraged with all this stuff coming out from the earnings call.
I'm worried about Activision muscling some stuff that we don't want
into
the game.
Yeah, I'm worried about that too, but I hope that Bungie realizes they have a really good thing with Forsaken and they just build upon that instead of thinking, oh, we dropped the ball again. We need to do something drastically different.
Yeah, I mean, we work at a company like IGN too, where the goal is always to A, be profitable and make more money and have something.
Really?
Exactly. You know, well, I mean, it is. I mean, like, candidly, you always want to set a goal potentially
higher. You need to
make
revenue to pay your employees.
Exactly.
And keep the business afloat.
Like, keep the business afloat, make more money, and that you always usually try to set a goal that might be not attainable. Sometimes you attain it, sometimes you don't. I'm sure they have all those kind of things in the background that they're thinking about. But you're right. I hope that it doesn't incentivize negative things into the game that make it a less of a positive experience. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about one thing that did happen, which was really weird to me, and I think really, really negatively impacted them due to the timing. Battle Royale craze is happening. We got PUBG. Fortnite comes out. Fortnite, we all know, is this monster franchise. We do show about it now. Steven's on it. Fran's coming back in and helping us out. And Battle Royale is what is on everybody's tip of the tongue right now.
Yeah.
Tip of their tongue right now. Geez, I'm really bad with analogies today. However, during this time, Battle Royale's having a resurgence or a surge of popularity.
Yeah.
Trials is removed from Destiny, one of the most popular game modes in the game, in Destiny 1. They remove it from the game. You cannot play that version of Trials anymore.
Yeah.
They wait a while. They release their version of Trials. Meanwhile, the Battle Royale game, which I was streaming and a lot of the Destiny people were streaming, we were all playing PUBG in this time frame.
Yeah.
Trials comes back. It's not what we wanted. PUBG's here, and a lot of people have transitioned. Lupo was a Destiny player. He transitioned full-time to Fortnite because you had that gameplay hook.
Yep.
You were hooked on it.
Sir D.
I think that really fractured their player base and hurt them in a way, because they took away this coveted experience, which I think people would have kept playing, and then they released an experience that wasn't as good, and that's a problem with the sandbox of Destiny too.
Yeah.
That it wasn't – it just didn't have a thing. I can't put my finger on what the thing was, but it wasn't there.
Well, fun is some of it. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt stale and boring. I mean, and that's the thing. Like,
team shooting, MIDA was the meta back then.
Yeah, and I understand why they did it. And that's the thing that's painful, is that, like, you know, we talk about, the conversation of what did you not like about Destiny 1? I didn't like a bunch of shoulder charging Titans. I didn't like a bunch of sticky grenades. I didn't like a bunch of
sticky grenades.
There you go. So that's the reaction. So they did a lot of that stuff positively to affect that crowd of PvP players. So they did listen and do it, but it did change the game in such a way that was perceived as negative. It wasn't as fun. It wasn't as fun to watch.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know,
no hero moments.
No hero moments with shotguns and snipers and all the rest of that stuff. But there is a balance for sure that took them, I think, a long time. And I like PvP right now with Forsaken and think it's really good. It is missing Trials.
Yeah,
that thing that brought you back on the weekend, the thing that streamers were streaming, it kept Destiny alive for a lot of years. And even into year three, before the beta came out, I think Destiny was usually within the top five
on Twitch
games on Twitch being streamed. Without Trials, that like side of the community dipped off and played other games, and the awareness level for other games increased because of that.
Yeah, I mean, Trials was the end game activity for PvP, and once you basically are getting rid of an end game activity. I don't know where I'm going with this, but
It's tough to compete. That's probably what you're saying. Like, and PUBG,
you lose eyeballs.
Yes,
on Twitch from the community.
Absolutely,
people stop playing your game.
Yeah,
and you have this huge gap of time before the next Trials came out. Huge is a few months, but in internet world, that might as well be an eternity.
I mean, let's get this clear. You lose that repetitive hook that a lot of PvP players like, and that's why you see a lot of PvP players play Fortnite, because there's that PvP hook, but let's get this straight. Destiny 2 Trials was terrible. It wasn't fun.
Yeah, it was not as engaging.
And when they announced that they were getting rid of it to work on it, I was happy.
Yeah, me too.
It was broken too.
Yeah.
There were survival, you would just turtle.
Well, not only that, there was and it's weird, because you look at all these quality of life things, and I think that's where it's like, if you think of Destiny as a standalone product and you look at everything they did from Destiny 1 to Destiny 2, there was a lot of really good quality of life things. It's like, hey, you didn't need to go back to the tower. You could just reset your boon, or there's no boons, but you could reset your Trials card right in the menu. Cool. But there was a problem with not seeming attached to the game mode. Mm-hmm. There was no boons. So you disconnect, there, your card's gone. There were a bunch of real things that scarred the experience, and that carried over, and people, the message spread. It was not great.
You got rid of Trials. You got Battle Royales that you're up against that I'm sure Activision's looking at Fortnite and their success and saying, how can we capitalize on that? And they did with Call of Duty. The Call of Duty blackout mode is pretty fun.
It is.
I'll give it that.
But do you think that that will have the long-standing staying power that Fortnite does? I absolutely do not.
I don't think so.
And I think that if Destiny had have came out with a Battle Royale, which I think we were all kind of wondering, oh, they're working on it in the background. Gambit, I think, is really good. I think they might be able to take Gambit and do, I always said, like a Trials-like experience where there's a competitive
aspect. But once you've done 97 rounds of Gambit, what was yours at before you got your meatball?
Like 103 or something.
Right. But right now we're chasing meatball, and that's what I wanted, like, initially when we were talking to them over, at E3 and all those events.
It is a great mode.
It's a great mode. Meatball is an incentive, but there needs to be some kind of weekend event besides meatball that is a competition where you're playing against other people. It's the competition that makes things thrive with Destiny.
When did Destiny 1 launch?
September 2014, right?
Yeah. I think that Destiny is a good idea. Like, it's there, but it's a 2014 idea, and it hasn't been modernized since 2014. So we're in 2018. We got this battle royale business model, and we have these other competing things that, man, the adrenaline you feel when you're playing a battle royale, it's hard to beat. I don't feel that way in Destiny. Sometimes I get close in Gambit to that sort of emotion of like, oh, that was a really close match. Yeah. We got it. That feels excellent.
That's a really good point. The adrenaline rush that I receive in Battle Royales, I've never felt that before in a game. Even in Trials of Osiris, when you're like the last person standing or a raid, you get like little bouts of that adrenaline. But in Battle Royale, when you're like the last person standing against one other person, that adrenaline is constant.
Yeah.
But to go off that, I hope they're two very different games.
They
Fortnite
are.
And
I don't
Destiny.
Want Destiny Battle Royale. I'll say
oh,
that.
Oh, no.
Right?
I'm not saying but too. They're very different games. Fortnite is very easy to pick up. You don't really need, besides learning the mechanics of the game, you don't need to learn much.
Skill gap is very wide.
Yeah. But in Destiny, it's like you need to grind weapons. You need to do this. It's a very different audience than Fortnite. And what they need to do is they need to focus on their audience. They don't need to worry about how can we get Fortnite audience to come to our game. They need to worry about their audience and expand on that. Because people who like MMOs, and you can see in the comments too, people hate Fortnite on the Fireteam chat comments.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Finnegan does not like Fortnite.
It's terrible.
There's two different groups of audience, and obviously Fortnite's audience is much bigger. But Destiny needs to take their audience and work on the MMO
side of things.
Aspects of the game, the PvP aspects of the game. They need to just expand their audience. They don't need to worry about Fortnite.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree with you, but the problem is they do kind of, though. Like, they need to actually consider it, because I think it would be interesting in the next few months, because where I was going with this is Call of Duty and, I mean, H1Z1 was there before, PUBG was there before. I don't think that those games will live longer than Fortnite. I think it's a quick cash grab.
Fortnite's not going anywhere for a long time.
That's my point.
Much as people hate on Fortnite has something that I've never seen any other game industry do.
To me, I haven't seen it since like Halo, right? Like those early Halo days. Right, where everybody was playing.
Halo had it.
Seemed like
Destiny 1 had it at
launch.
Yeah,
Destiny 1 had it at launch.
But a lot of people got burned there.
Yeah.
And the problem is they got burned again in Destiny 2.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it back for a second. I'm going to bring it back to the initial question that I posed. Is the Destiny brand too damaged to succeed? And I'm worried that the answer is yes. I don't know how they come back from this. They would need to make the penultimate Destiny. Sorry, not penultimate. The perfect Destiny experience, an excellent story, and their stories are good.
Yeah,
the stories that they've told so far are good, but they need to be excellent.
Yeah,
and I haven't seen them do that yet. I don't think they're capable of getting to that bar.
And I mean,
that's tricky.
Yeah,
so that's part of the community. You need an excellent PvP experience, and with their current sandbox, I don't know if they're going to be able to get there. It's good right now, but it needs to be excellent.
They need
to be the best in their space, and they're not right now.
You're right. You don't think Bungie's capable of doing that, though?
I think Bungie can get to the PvP space. I'm concerned about the storytelling aspects because I haven't seen an amazingly exceptional story from them.
I mean, that's what Sean keeps on saying. Yeah. I will say this. There's something about
– I'm not saying their stories are bad.
Yeah.
I'm saying they're good.
My thing is this. Titanfall 2 is probably my – like favorite campaign multiplayer shooter that does both in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's a combination because it wasn't just shooting. There was like, Titan moments and the campaign progression and all that other stuff. Like, there was just a variety of different things. Like, there was a time warp mission where you're going back and forth between spaces.
Titanfall 2.
Titanfall 2. Yeah. The mechanics in the game are really good, but then it offers a variety of gameplay that's not quite there with Destiny 2. Like, Destiny is very good shooting. It feels amazing. Mm-hmm. It is a lot of shooting. No space, you know.
That's
vehicles.
All you do.
It's mostly all you do. There's no space vehicles. There's no, you know, you have a Sparrow and a couple of the ships that you can, like, you know, parade around. But imagine if they, you know, got out of that zone of, okay, you just shoot things, mm-hmm. and they varied up the gameplay a little bit more, so there was something a little bit new.
Both of you guys sum up exactly what I think is the issue. There's always that issue where if the game is too hardcore, they can't sell games.
Yeah.
If the game is too casual, they'll make money, but the hardcore audience will be driven away, right?
Mm.
If they have a fantastic campaign, a very memorable campaign,
mm-hmm.
I think that satisfies the casual audience, because if you think about the casual audience, they'll play through the story.
Yeah,
they'll play through the story. They won't grind meatball. They won't grind weapons. They won't grind god rolls. What they're going to remember is the campaign, right?
Yes.
And if the campaign is excellent, so let me give you an example. When you think of Halo Reach, what stands out to you?
Yeah, the ending.
Everyone getting sniped.
Yeah, or that.
And the moments with each of the characters as they pass,
and like,
well,
the space
spoilers,
mission.
Pass away. Yeah.
The space mission, like,
flying,
you get attached to
space.
The characters and stuff like that. All the Halo, well, up to Halo 3, I don't know. I played Halo 4, I didn't like Halo 4.
Yeah,
sorry.
I mean, even 5.
Yeah. But all those campaigns are memorable, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing really memorable in Destiny. Even though Forsaken was good, it's not.
You're talking campaigns, or like, to me,
campaign.
The raids are super memorable.
But that's, I don't consider
that's
that
end game.
But that's
5-10%?
Yeah.
20%?
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Most of the player base won't get to the raid. So you have to make them think, man, the Destiny campaign was so good. That's how you hook the casual audience.
Yeah.
That's how you sell games.
They need a God of War of Destiny.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
And we were talking about that even. Like, microtransactions are not a huge deal for me. I don't really, you know, notice them in Destiny.
A penny in Destiny.
And I haven't either.
Neither have I.
Yeah. And so it is one of those things where.
I just said I'm not going to support this business model.
Yeah. And I don't really care to support it either. But what I did enjoy, and God of War is my favorite game of the year. And it was one of my favorite.
It's my
games.
Game of the year also.
It's probably one of the best games in the last 5 years.
I haven't played God of War, and it's my game of the year.
you really got to go through it. The fact that there is none of that stuff, because I find that it's not that it's a huge problem. I mean, in some cases with games like Battlefront, it was. But it just pulls me out of the experience.
Yeah.
And that did not happen to me in God of War at all. And that was an amazing campaign for that reason. I didn't go, oh, is the game trying to get me to spend money by doing this? And you wonder about how the development cycle ends up working when those things are in the game. So. Yeah, but those are business decisions, right?
So do you think Destiny can be successful, to answer the question that I'm posing?
Sure. To answer the question.
And success is determined by Activision, apparently.
Well, that's the thing. Like, are you talking
to me, Destiny has been successful. You got
absolutely.
A number 6 best-selling game of last year and a number 8 best-selling game of September. I got those from Forbes, by the way.
Yeah.
If you're wondering where that data is coming from. That's a success to me, but it's not enough for Activision. So how do they get those players that feel burned back? Can they do it ever?
I think they can. I think the challenge, though, is that the longer Destiny does make missteps, it's harder. And with Call of Duty, and you look at that franchise, and that's an Activision franchise, that's the reason why I'm drawing the comparison, they have definitely a tendency to milk something out until, you know, we say like blood from a stone. Like, Call of Duty is past its prime. They're still making them. I would like to think that Destiny has a couple more tricks up its sleeve, but I think it grows tougher as the brand goes on, and if it makes missteps along the way, yeah, it potentially may not ever capture the magic that Destiny 1 did. And that's why a new IP or something similar but with a different name might be a better call. So
yeah.
I think that they will be able to, but to meet Activision, I don't know. As a gamer, yes, I think they can do it. As a, you know, whatever their earnings call needs, I don't know about that.
What about you, Steven?
Well, let's be real. Not a lot of people are fans of the franchise, right? Like, you say Destiny.
Look at our comment section.
Yeah, you say Destiny 2, and what do they say? Oh, I have to pay $200 to get the full experience, blah, blah,
blah,
whatever.
Yeah, some stigma there now.
But not true. Yeah.
Which is not true. And it's like, yeah, they have a tarnished reputation right now, but the past is the past. And if they start pulling out bangers, right? Like,
yeah.
Solid campaign.
Forsaken's a start. Forsaken was excellent.
Which is what I said earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. Please build off Forsaken.
Mm-hmm.
Something we didn't talk about is the Queen's Ascender throne. I don't
yeah.
if you guys haven't done it this
oh,
week.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
You go in and she's talking to an emissary of the Nine. And what and then
interesting.
And yeah. it's and it really like digs into the lore. And what I really like about what they're doing now is every week in Destiny, it's a reset, right? And you're yeah. doing basically you're doing the same stuff over and over again, right? But in Destiny 2 Forsaken, they found a way to tie that into the story.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's Riven's curse, right?
Yep.
And I feel like that's a really good stepping point because in Destiny 1, you just do Aetheon over and over again. And
nothing would evolve.
Nothing
yeah.
would evolve.
Yeah, exactly.
They've built a storyline. It's Riven's curse, and the curse is that you're doing it over again. They have things like that. And remember, Forsaken is a DLC. If they had the time to make the base game like this,
yeah.
it'd be three times the size of Forsaken, right? Give or take.
Yeah.
I think if you just make really good games and DLCs from now on, people are going to slowly forget about what they don't like about Destiny 1, Destiny 2, and yeah. they'll start playing it.
Absolutely, yeah. People are looking for a success story. Everybody mm-hmm. loves a comeback story, yeah. and I feel like Forsaken definitely has been that. And I mean, even like with a lot of these free products and including the games in now included in it, those are all those barriers to it. And it feels like there's always a window, and, mm-hmm. and Bungie has just missed these windows so often that it's hard to come back. And like you said, the whole year one, they were trying to make up for it.
Yeah.
That's I mean, in a tough spot to be.
I'm pulling very hard for Bungie, and yeah. I want it to be at the point where the game is so good consistently that the people who do complain about, oh, Destiny 1, Destiny 2 were bad, it's like, okay, well, now you're missing out on a great thing. You look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I'll answer the question myself. I think in order for them to be successful in Activision's eyes, Bungie needs to have a tremendously successful game, and I don't think that that's going to happen before or by Destiny 3. I think they will do well. They're still going to be in the top 10, which apparently isn't enough for Activision, which I don't understand. I think we're going to get a pretty great set of content. They're going to continue to build on Forsaken, and I'm really excited to see and play that content. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Destiny 3, and I hope that the franchise will continue, and Destiny 3 will probably be the end of the series.
Yeah.
And I would like to see them go out on a high note. Look, if you're getting kicked while you're down, being number 8 best-selling game in September is apparently down. Yeah. If you're being kicked while you're down, who cares? Give it your best. Make something that you're really, really proud to put out on the market. And I'm sure Bungie was with Destiny 2.
Yeah.
And I think that they have the talent and ability to make something absolutely. Excellent, stop listening to the money hats.
I mean,
and start making great gaming content again, because you guys are awesome. Like,
yeah.
you have that ability. Something's happening, but something's causing that friction. What Activision wants, what they want, too much data, not enough passion.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is what happens in general with companies like EA and Activision. I hate painting those pictures like that, but it becomes... They are sometimes a barrier to people, I think, enjoying games, because they look at the publisher rather than the developer and the game and the product itself. Then you get into a situation where, because of their reputation with like microtransactions or whatever else, it supersedes the amazing content that is there.
Yeah.
And that's been a problem or something that's established itself in the last year, especially. Battlefront was the beginning of that.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. That's all I had for this week. Is there any other final points that you guys would like to make before we head out?
No, I mean, I think Trials was the only thing that we were talking about. We just, you know, we're excited for it to come back. If it does, we don't know. They haven't confirmed that it's coming back at season 5. It's neat to see that the Emissary, you know, being into that space yeah, there.
I'd like to see like a reputation system with Trials.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you think of all the things that the streamers were doing and people did on Twitch, like Trials was cool because there was a sense of, you know, urgency to get to the lighthouse, to win, even to have progression. Like, everybody's like, oh, I want to see what like card are they on? What number are they on? Yeah. A lot of those things I would love to see in the game. Like, have they lost yet? Is there a boon system? Because those are the things that keep people coming back to actually watch the game visually rather than just the experience, right?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
It needs to be competitive, but it also needs to have some of those things.
Also, this is super down the line, but a lot of people I talk to that aren't diehard Destiny fans, they would... And they didn't play Destiny 1 because they were just on PC. If Destiny 2, like, at the end of its lifeline, brings back all the raids. How cool would that be?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That'd be great. That was the reason Rise of Iron was so excellent and beyond. Yeah. We had all those raids to go back to.
Yeah.
That's all we have time for this episode, but that doesn't mean that the conversation's over. You can still partake in the comment section, and I know CJ will be there.
I'm there.
And if you're not too mean to me, I might read him again.
He gets a notification on his phone every time.
Yeah.
I do.
It said my name.
I do appreciate the comment section. It is one of those things where, yeah, sometimes a little hostile, but I mean, I always say that even with some of the negative feedback, there's some merit to some of it, but be nice. I'm there checking it out. So.
What do you think? Can Destiny be as successful as Activision needs it to be? That is the question for this week. We'll read your responses next week. Thank you so much for joining me in the studio, guys. That's it for this show. So until next time, Guardians out.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the script?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
You need to save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.